Well, hey, y'all, you ready for the word this morning or what?
Yeah.
Come on, are you ready?
Yeah.
So we're going to be going through a message this morning called Redeemed. Can y'all say Redeemed?
Redeemed.
And my hope this morning is that we will be a people who refuse to settle in old identity, but that we will step into who God has called us to be. And that we will abandon old creature stuff and old creature branding and old creature attitudes. And we will let God, like, you remember when we said, Jesus, your Lord? Four of you are born again. Good job. Okay, maybe we're just going to change to a salvation message right now. Because every person in this house, y'all remember when you made Jesus your Lord?
Yeah.
Okay, that means he gets to tell you who you are. And what to do and how to live. And here's the good news. Some people be like, wow, that sounds very controlling. He's your designer. So he knows how we ought to function. And therefore, we're at our best when we're functioning as we were created to. We feel so wonky when we're like trying to be something we're not. And we spend our whole lives like man, outside of Christ, I just remember I was constantly trying to measure up and figure out who I was. And finally, I was like, wow, I can't do that. And so then I'm like, okay, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. And then he started to show me who I was. He redeemed me. Let's start off in Isaiah 43, verse 1. And as we go through this message, if you would read the bold parts with me, it says this, but now, this is what the Lord says. Okay. My goal here is not to give you a fancy sermon. My goal here is to reiterate and to teach what God is saying to his people. Okay? So please don't approach this like, okay, here goes another message. This ain't, like, we're in this, like, YouTube content mode where we just consume and consume and consume. Tune your heart to the Spirit of God. This is what the Lord says. He who is your creator, Jacob, and he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Y'all ever just like stop and ask yourself what these Christian words mean? Like redeemed? What does redeemed mean? Bought back, absolutely. Bought back, taken completely out of debt, set free. It means to give a new purpose. Y'all ever seen like an old property be redeemed? You ever see that? It's amazing, man. That's why those shows are so popular. People love seeing redemption. They watch like those old, like, what, I don't even know the names of them, Fixer Upper. That's one. That's gotta be one. You know what I'm saying, though? Like those kinds of shows, like we love watching redemption. And I want to tell you, you can love participating in redemption. You are a house, man. And when we give our lives to Jesus, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, so what that means is that as we're here on this earth, we're going to be in a process of renovation. Okay, we were bought back, baby. He bought it and he's flipping it. And you got everything you need, but walking through life where we find, amen, and we continue to see him work things out in and through us, he redeems us, amen. I like this last kind of definition of redeem, and it's to give a new name. To give a new name. Y'all know, God's just like changing people's names left and right in the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah? It's all over the place, man. And I don't have time to go through like all of the changes or we'd be here until like 4 p.m., you know? But all over the place in Scripture, God is changing names. For those of you who might not be familiar with the Old Testament, this might sound like God is talking to two different people or two different sets of people. Jacob and Israel, guess what? Same guy. Same dude. Two names. How come? Well, you have an old name, Jacob, and you have a new name, Israel. I want to dive into why God would even bring that up, but why have two names? What's the point? What's going on here? Here you see him speaking to the old name, reminding him of the new name, and saying, he forms us in our new name, Israel. You understand? This isn't just one person, this is a people. Okay, Israel is a reference to a people, but you see him here regarding both Jacob, old name, and Israel, new name. Don't fear, Jacob. Remember, I redeemed you, Jacob, and I've called you by name, Israel. You are mine. So what were you deemed? What were you deemed? What's your old name? What's your old name? Now, some of y'all are being real literal with me. My name was exactly what my name is now. What are you talking about, dude? What do you mean by that? Well, I think a lot of us have deemed ourselves in accordance with our sin and our shortcomings. Maybe idols in our life, you know? We call ourselves these things, these labels that get in the way of God's tremendous transformative power and potential. We like grab onto these things like attitude traits and stuff. Well, I'm just an insecure person. In Christ, no, you're not. No, you're not. You are not just an insecure person. You needed to take that nonsense out of your mouth because you're just doing the devil's marketing for him. Okay? That's all you're doing. You're like the Pepsi commercial for Satan, you know? The Super Bowl. Just stop it, you know? And that's what's so wild is it's like the enemy doesn't even have to speak maliciously about us. We don't even need people to talk badly about us because we're talking so poorly about ourselves. We're deeming ourselves in accordance with our old creature stuff instead of saying, wait a minute, I'm no Jacob, I'm an Israel. I'm abandoning that old name and I'm stepping into who I am. What were you deemed? Let God redeem you. You see, we were made to shine and bring him glory. Did you hear me? There's this idea about like Christians and when we give our life to God. And I think it's like because of monasteries and monks and all that stuff. And like, don't get me wrong, man. I'm all for like going somewhere, quiet time, quiet place stuff. But it's just like, I think we're convinced that like holiness is like Gregorian chanting and like in like a cave somewhere. Like, you know what I mean? It's not inherently holy. Some of y'all are like, that's not even a little holy, Stephen. You know, didn't sound holy to me, you know? But Christian living, this life for Christ, is not like mundane and dull and, oh, I'm looking down and I'm hating myself. I'm such a sinner. You're a saint, dude. Wake up, wake up. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hello? Like you've been made that in Christ. And every time that we say otherwise, we are spitting in the face of Jesus. Who are you? Trust him. Hear him. You're a child of God. What does that mean? What does, like, yo, yeah. We just get so comfortable and used to this stuff. What does that mean? To be a child of the Most High? To be seated above all principality, power, ruler, all that stuff? Seated with him? Like, yo, that's big life-changing stuff. I want to let that be my redemption. I want to be deemed a child of God, and I don't want to tiptoe around all the work of the enemy here on the earth. Wasting my days talking poorly about myself or others when I need to rise up in who I am and watch this world be transformed by his glory and for his glory. Amen? Yo, life is too short, dude. Life is too short to just believe the devil's branding. Give it up. Give it up. and be redeemed. Don't buy who he's deemed you. So the old name, I just wanted to kind of dive into these actual names, Jacob in Israel. Let's go ahead and pull up the meaning for the word Jacob. So again, he references both Jacob and Israel, and Jacob is Yaakov. Can y'all say Yaakov? A supplanter, layer of snares. Huh. How many of y'all want to, anybody want to sign up, name your child? Some of the Jacobs in the houses are like, man. Call me Jake, dude. You know what I mean? And I don't know what Jake means either. It's like, true, who knows, you know? It also means heel grabber. Because when Jacob was born, you see, he's a twin, right? And so he comes out after his brother, and he's literally holding the heel of his brother. And so, like, yeah, we're going to name this guy Jacob, you know? But I find it really interesting that his old name actually was pretty in line with a lot of his behavior. You know, Jacob, you see, Jacob, it's really funny. I don't know if the Bible, like, is intentionally making Jacob sound kind of like a wuss or not, but, like, they call him a civilized man who hung out in the tents. And then his brother Esau is a hunter out in the field. And I'm like, man, am I the civilized guy in the tent? You know? Like, am I like that, you know? But it's just super funny because Jacob, in Scripture, again, he just kind of like walks out his old name. So for instance, okay, so again, Jacob was a twin, but he came after his brother, right? And how many of y'all know birthright was very important? Yeah? Birthright being the firstborn in Old Testament stuff was huge. And so Jacob was like, hey, man, I want to be the firstborn. But he's not the firstborn. Like, he's just not the firstborn. But he wanted it so bad, even as a baby, he's like, I'm going to get it. You know what I mean? And so Jacob, he ends up tricking his brother. Apparently Jacob makes a mean stew. Any stew makers in the house? Hey, come on. Okay, yeah. I don't know how to make a stew. I think we got like a crock pot. But Jacob, man, he didn't even have a crock pot. All right, this is pre-crock pots, dude. And apparently this stew was mean and tasty. Because like his brother comes back from out doing his manly things in the field and in the thing, you know, and he comes home and Jacob's like, I have a delicious stew, you know? And so his brother is so exhausted that he's like, hey, Jacob, please give me some of that delicious stew. And Jacob's like, nope. You may not have any of my stew unless you give up your birthright. How many of y'all think this sounds like a good deal? This does not sound like a good deal. But Esau is like, bro, I am so exhausted and so tired. Anybody ever been there before? Where you're not making logical decisions because you are just so exhausted? Here's a tip. Don't buy that bait. Go, like, he was coming home. There must have been some food elsewhere. Don't buy the stew when you got to sell your birthright. Okay? Someone comes up, something real tasty, but you have to compromise the blessing of God and the calling of God on your life, maybe, just maybe, go eat some bread instead. Okay? Turn down the, what's really tasty? Prime rib. There you go. Turn down the prime rib. This is dangerous. I'm making people hungry. Prime rib. You know, I'm saying turn it down. God's got something better, but, you know, just don't buy the saucy bait in the moment. So anyways, he's like, yeah, man, I'll do anything right now. I'm so exhausted. And so for some stew, he sells his birthright. How many of y'all think that makes Jacob sound a little bit like a supplanter? Hello? A little bit like a schemer. Hello? A little bit like a heel grabber. Yeah? So that's not it, man. He keeps on going, and he has the help of his mother. Hey, moms. Don't do what we're about to talk about, okay? Jacob's, their father starts talking about who he's going to give, or that it's time to give the inheritance. Okay, he's getting really old, right? He's starting to go like, okay, it's time for me to give the blessing, to let this thing go. And his wife, Jacob's mom, overhears this and goes, Jacob, it's time. We need to pull some tomfoolery, some trickery, because we don't want Esau to get his blessing. Like, mom is really playing favorites here, you know, like really playing favorites. And so they scheme. Again, he's going blind, man. And he's like on his deathbed, like trying to give a blessing to his firstborn son. And they're like, let's take advantage. And so anyways, what they do is they quickly make up some food, you know, because they were going to make, like, the call was for Esau to make this, like, wonderful meal, bring it to him, you know, and then get the blessing of his father, right? And so instead what happens is Rebecca and Jacob, they end up making a quick meal. They end up, like, they take his clothes, his brother's clothes, and put them on so he smells like his brother. And then this part gets weird. They take some goat skins. Like, man, I know he was going blind, but for the non-blind in the room, this must have been, like, such a thing to behold. Because he's walking in wearing his brother's clothes, which, like, I'm guessing since Jacob is, like, a civilized tent man, he kind of has, like, my figure. You know, probably like, you know, maybe a little lanky. I don't think he's like in the tents just like, ha, 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 you know. I think he's making stew, okay? And his brother's out there getting jacked, like jumping over hay bales and like, I don't know, shooting stuff with bows and cutting animals and stuff, you know. And like, so he's got, you know, he's kind of shredded. He probably smells like field and forest. Actually, he does. Scripture says that. And so he, you know, Jacob, he puts on his brother's clothes and he puts on goat skins so that he's a hairy guy like his brother. Is that not weird? Like, that's, man, first of all, he must have been real hairy, you know? Like, I'm just saying, like, that's a good bit of hair, you know? I'm like reading this, I'm like, wow, man, yeah. That's one hairy man, but also he was hairy from birth too. It even says that he's like a hairy dude, you know? And so anyways, he goes in and he hijacks his brother's inheritance and blessing from his father. Again, how many of y'all think that sounds like a schemey McSchemer? Yeah, I'm not, that's not like my role model right there. You know, I would look at that and I'd be like, bro, you shady. Bro, that's messed up. You stole that from your brother and from your father. And even if you didn't steal, and maybe he accepted the deal, you're taking advantage of your brother when he's exhausted. You're taking advantage of your father when he's blind and dying. Like, kind of messed up, Jacob. Kind of messed up, supplanter, layer of snares, right? But that's his old name. That's his old name. You see, we could sit here, we could point and like call judgment on Jacob, but the truth of it is we all got some Jacob. You know? I don't know what your old name is, but just because it's different, it doesn't make it like holier. The old creature is a nasty old beast. And I want to abandon any of that nonsense. And I want to step into who God has called us. Amen. And so again, this is how his parents saw him. This is how just like the world called him by his old name. What has the world named you? What have you named you? What has the enemy named you? Schemer, insecure, bitter, cripple. What are these names? Maybe they're just like idolatrous things even, where we're just so enamored with the things of this world. Football player. You know, when people ask you who you are and what are you about, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? That might show you some of your branding. It also might show you some priorities need to shift. Hello? I mean, if someone asks me my name, I'm going to say, I'm Stephen. You know, because that's my name. Currently, that's my name. If God changes it, I'll jump on board, you know. Probably confuse some people, but that's fine, you know. But I'll tell you what, that after that, if people start asking me about stuff, I'm not going to be sleeping on the fact that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to start spouting off insecurities about who I am and how much I hate myself. Hello? But the world, I don't know, we've made self-deprecation cool. It's like two extremes. It's like either we just like give insecurity and self-deprecation a free pass, or we're like, everything is fine. Do you live your best life and that's perfect. No, it's not. No, it's not. Both are ditches. Who he has called us to be is the middle, the narrow way into eternal life. And how many of y'all want to inherit and live in that? Come on, man. So we name ourselves in accordance with our sin and shortcomings. Here's the funny thing. He wipes our sin clear and gives us a new identity. So for us to call ourselves by our old names, oh, well, I'm ugly, I'm dumb, I'm this. And you might be like, well, I don't really call myself that. How about in here? How about in here? Our thought life needs transformation too. Hello? Believe it or not, I know I do a decent bit of speaking, but I do even more in here. And this speech is critical. What we put out has creative power, but what we meditate on is inevitable to come out. So watch what you're meditating on because you're about to create it. You understand? It's very dangerous. Pastor Paul talked about the creative power of words last week. If you didn't listen, go listen to that message because it was fire. So, Colossians 1, 13 through 14. Are y'all tracking with me this morning?
Yes.
Cool. For he, that's talking about Jesus, rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Y'all ready? In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If God forgave our sins, why would we call ourselves by that old identity or remain in darkness? You're called out of darkness. You've been transferred out of darkness, but it's like for some reason we've been set free from jail and we're just like, hey, close the gate. It's insanity, y'all. For freedom, we've been set free. So let's live in that freedom. Let's live in that light. Amen? And let's call ourselves in accordance with who we are. In Ephesians 5:8, I love this. Says this, for you were once darkness. So that, listen to that. You were once not in darkness. It literally says you were once darkness. Interesting. How about an old name? Darkness. Woo. But now. Y'all say but now?
But now.
All right, let's keep going. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You are light. In him, you are light, and we ought to be walking like it. But because we're afraid of what? Being like, it's more prideful to yield to false humility and put a basket over the light of God shining through you in your giftings than it is to actually step out into some things and be like, yes, God's working through me even. He wants to work through every single person. You understand? Rise up. Take the basket off, man, and let your gifts thrive in this earth in a way that they bring glory to God. We're a city on a hill, man. Jesus says, don't put a basket over that light. Don't put a basket over that light. Walk as children of light. How many of y'all think this looks like a child of light? Oh, you know what? I don't have my phone on me, but how about this? Oh, there's so many people around me. There's such opportunity to share his love around me, but my eyes are fixed on some dumb little screen. Hello? My eyes are fixed here instead of like looking up at the fields that are ripe for harvest. Hello? Lift your eyes, dude. Walk as a child of light, because the devil's duping us into doom scrolling on our phones. Like, bleh. I tell you what, even in like, for some, hear me, lots of good Christian content, amen. I'm grateful for Christian content creators. But I also think, even sometimes, we're just so stuck in content consumption that we are like stuck consuming and never outpouring. There ought to be a balance, man. I'm all for taking in good Christian content, but if you're just like eating and eating and eating and never, you know, you're going to be real constipated. You know what I mean? I'm not telling you to give people your poop. This is a bad metaphor. This is a terrible metaphor. Pastor Paul's shaking his head, and I understand. It's like, why do I let him preach again? Oh, man, I'm kidding. He's a legend at letting me just fly free, and I'm very grateful for that, you know. But we can't just consume and consume and consume and consume and consume and consume and expect that we're walking as children of light. Gotta let the light shine. So how does the old name compare with the new name? Okay, so let's look at the name Israel. Y'all ready? We're going to say it the real way. We're going to say Yisrael. Can y'all say Yisrael? And it means God prevails. He will rule as God and contends with God. Y'all know Jacob straight up had a wrestling match with Jesus? That's epic, dude. Jacob wrestled Jesus. But you know what? Jesus, and we're pretty sure it was Jesus, okay? Pretty sure. But I love that, like, God didn't look at Jacob and be like, yuck, you seem a little grabby. You're a little schemer of a schemey scheme, aren't you? Honestly, by this time, by the time they have their wrestling match, Jacob kind of got a little bit of his own medicine. You know, he spent a long time working for some dude who's like, you can have my daughter. And then he's like, ha ha, I gave you the other daughter. Like, that's kind of messed up. You know, he got some tricks played on him too. And so then he serves longer. And then the guy's still trying to play shenanigans. So he gets out of there. He's trying to go home to his other brother that he schemed, that he's afraid. Because the brother that he schemed, he thinks he's going to hurt him. And then Jesus shows up. And they have a good old-fashioned wrestling match. Wrestling. I love it, man. I'll tell you what, healthy masculinity is wrestling with your boy. You know, I love it so much. My brother and I, we were talking about it. See, we used to like knock each other out. Literally, like I'm not exaggerating. You know, it's not hyperbole. Like we were talking about some memories, you know, and I finally had the click in my mind that like in my memories when the lights are flashing on and off, because Kyle was always like, the lights weren't, what do you mean? You think I ran to the top of the stairs and I was like flashing? I was like, oh, I was probably like knocked out and coming in and out of consciousness, you know? But like we used to fight like that and we were talking about it. And it's just funny because I have two boys now, you know, and one of them is 4 years old and he's starting to know how to use his hands, you know, and he's starting to know how to kind of express himself, you know, in with those hands. And then sometimes that goes well, and other times it's not great, you know. But here's the deal. What I love is my brother and I, we both realized that, like, we just needed a father to take that and point it in a healthy direction. That's what our father wants to do. He, like, where the world just sees the bad, God sees the perversion of the good. And he sees the potential and the true and the beautiful. I was telling my brother, I was like, dude, there's a few memories that I have. We had a neighbor, Kevin Lannon. If you ever listen to this dude, shout out and God bless you, because this touched my life. But I remember, I didn't have a dad growing up. And so we would go to their place and like we would just have these tremendous wrestling matches. They'd take all the cushions off of the couches and just throw them on the ground. And this man is huge, you know what I mean? He's just like, and of course, when you're like this big, you know, he's even bigger, you know? But he would just like throw us, and it wasn't violent or malicious. It was just like wrestling, you know? And it was a beautiful thing. You know, and that, I believe what the Father wants to do is he wants to take some of that like whipping around and he wants to show you what to do with it. He wants to show you the pure form of the old name. He wants to show you that you're not just a heel grabber, you're someone that will not give up. Hello? You're someone who's willing to do all that needs to be done to get that blessing. I don't think God frowns on that. I think he frowns on the scheming. I think he frowns on the flesh. But I don't think he frowns on the pursuit of God's best. I don't think he frowns on that. And so what happens here is they have a good old-fashioned wrestling match, and he will not give up. And he's like, I'm not giving up until I get that blessing. So sure enough, God kind of gives him like a hip check, literally. He's like, pa, check me, bro, you know? And he's like, watch, I am bigger than you. I am stronger than you. I am God, you are creation, remember that. But then he gives him his blessing. And I absolutely love that he gives him a name that has God built into it. You know what I mean? Your new name, you can't live it out without God being built into it. Did you hear me? Your new life, new creature stuff, like you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're not just the righteousness of God. You can't go around saying that because then you're revoking God of the glory and you're not professing the power and the source that it comes from. We are new creatures in Christ. Hello? All of our promises and all spiritual blessings are in him, right? And so God's name is built into our new name. Again, the world saw a heel grabbing schemer. God saw a determined wrestler who wouldn't quit. The old name was in accordance with the perverted version of our giftings. You know, I think about me, myself, old creature. Well, there's a good friend of mine, Aaron, who used to play guitar at our band. And he moved out from Virginia Beach to be in the band, and he moved into a house full of lost boys, you know, drug addicts and people that we just did. It was no bueno, you know. And I used to be so incredibly persuasive for the enemy and his workings. And it's, dude, it just like, it makes my heart so sad to think about how many people I pulled underwater, you know? And God's forgiven all that, and he's healed me up. And you know what now? I know for a fact that ain't me. I know for a fact that I am influential in him, but I'm influential for him. And I ain't bringing people down to drown under the water of the weight of satanic behavior and personality and all that stuff. No, I'm pulling people into the depths of his grace. And I'm so stoked because even with Aaron specifically, so we had a little departure. Again, he comes out, he's relatively clean. We end up, by the time he leaves, he's like addicted to snorting Adderall. He's pothead, he probably lost, and he's a skinny dude, he probably lost like 30 pounds, you know, by the time he left, and we weren't on good terms, you know. Then I give my life to the Lord, and I went like whole hog, dude, you know. That's like the only, I recommend don't toe dip. Hey, just go whole hog, man, you're just going to waste time and energy, and he can set you free faster than you think he can. I promise you that, you know? And so it was absolutely wild, man, because so we take, he leaves, he's still on the stuff, I'm still on the stuff. I end up giving my life to the Lord, and he just rocks me, dude, sets me free in so many ways. And then the Lord calls me to start doing a podcast. And so I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I had gear and all that stuff from the music stuff we were doing. And so I started recording a podcast, and without, like, unbeknownst to me, he starts to listen. And he's listening, and he's listening, and he's listening. And before he came out, he was like, he was a Christian, you know, but he wasn't really, like, lit. You know what I mean? He'd said the prayer. He'd done all that. He'd grown up in it, but he turned. And I feel like I had a little something to do with that turning, unfortunately. But God didn't leave him there, just like he didn't leave me there. And so he's listening to this podcast, and all of a sudden, I get a call from him, and he's like, Stephen, dude, I've been listening to the podcast. I've given my life back to the Lord. I'm on fire for Jesus. And I'm just like, come on, Jesus. What I'm saying is whatever old creature stuff looked like, a lot of the time, some stuff is just tumors that need to fall off. Some old creature stuff is not just a perversion. It's like a growth on the perversion that is gross and needs to go. But oftentimes, our flesh is just a limb that's given by God working without his influence. It's a gift from God that has been usurped and perverted by the enemy, us yielding to him, and therefore using the God-given gifts we have for satanic purposes. Hello? So here's the good news. Your new name flips that all on its head. It wasn't like Jacob went from like supplanter, layer of snares, to like reclining in a chair. You know what I mean? Contends with God. Woo! That's got some sauce on it, man. I would rather spend my life wrestling with God than sitting in the armchair complaining. You know what I mean? Some of y'all need to do a little wrestling. But because we're too afraid to wrestle, we just sit down and we go, well, it's more comfortable to just sit here and be bitter. I promise you it's not. It's not. It's painful. And God's got something better for you, Israel. Come on, rise up, new creature. Let God redeem those gifts. Come on. So the last thing I'll reference here is a story from Acts 3. Y'all say Acts 3? Are you alive this morning?
Yes!
Good. Says this. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a man who had been unable to walk from birth. Can y'all say from birth?
From birth.
That's a long time, huh? How many of y'all think that when you've been dealing with something since birth, you might identify with it? Hello? We see people doing this left and right in modern day society. It's like just anything that we've dealt with for the entirety of our life, it becomes a part of our identity. That's a trap. It's dangerous because it revokes God of the opportunity to move in. Don't let your self-deeming and your self-branding get in the way of God's best for you. Amen? Says, and a man who had been unable to walk from birth was being carried, whom they used to set down. Let's say that together one more time. They used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order for him to beg for charitable gifts from those entering the temple grounds. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple grounds, he began asking to receive a charitable gift. But Peter, along with John, looked at him intently and said, "Look at us!" Let's keep going. And he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not have silver and gold." He's saying, bro, I don't got what you're asking for. I got something way better. But what I do have, I give to you. And then, can you imagine? Yo, just think about this. This is such a cool situation. We've read it so many times, we forget how wild this is. Like, think about being Peter here. Like, what boldness. What unction and what, like, obedience to just be like, hey, I have what you're asking for, but in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't go, just do it, man. Just do it. Just walk. Just go ahead. Just walk. No, what he does is he grasps him by the right hand. He raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. You know what? Sometimes I think that we spout action at people about what they need to do rather than being a part of it. Hello, church. Sometimes we need to help raise somebody up so that the strength in their ankles can be given. Hello? Like he picks him up and then strength is received here. Faith has been so individualized it disgusts me. Hear me, God loves you individually and relationally, okay? You and him, that's the most important thing. Your relationship with God ought be very, 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 very intimate, but it ought not be separated from people. We are the body of Christ. We've been called to serve in this earth self-sacrificially on Jesus' behalf, and that's going to stretch you outside of, well, me and God, we're good. You know what I'm saying? Yuck, dude. Some people are just like, come, Lord, but they're saying come, Lord, because they don't want to have to serve the world the way we've been called to. You know what I'm saying? We just want to kick back in our lazy boys and wait for the second coming. God's got more. Hot dog. His feet and his ankles were strengthened and leaping up. He stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with him, walking and leaping and praising God. Let's keep reading. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as being the very one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg for charitable gifts, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This guy used to sit and beg. Again, I believe that there's like some used to's in the room who aren't letting the used to be a used to. We're saying, no, my used to is who I am still. No, 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 no. He wants to grab you by your feet, say, hey, that old identity, nah, nah, nah. Not grab you by your feet. He might be like, whoa, you know what I mean? But like, one of these days, I'm gonna like pop a hip or something. Did y'all know I ripped my pants once? I ripped my pants once and I got away with it. I was doing a skateboarding metaphor and I was here on this stage. I was right here. And I was like, I think I was talking about like faith. I'm not going to do it again. My pants aren't as tight as they used to be, but I feel like I'm just asking for it if I do it again. And so I was like right here and I was doing like faith. Sometimes you just got to like drop in, man, you know? And it's like, whoa, man, you know? And so I did the drop in motion. And the minute I did, I was wearing like a corduroy kind of pant. And y'all listen, corduroys have those like vertical things, you know? So once you get a cut, that baby just goes. There's no coming back from a corduroy pant split, man. There's no coming back. And so it split right down the middle, man. And like, so for the rest of service, and I don't think, unless y'all are just doing the same thing with the rat tail, you know what I mean? Like, unless y'all are pulling that on me again, I don't think anybody knew, because I was just like side shuffling. Jesus. You know what I mean? And thank God we don't have any of those like back shots of you guys. You ever see those in live feeds and stuff, man? Churches have the shot from behind. I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. And we didn't have a behind shot. Anyways, God wants to pick you up, probably not by your feet, probably by your hand. And he wants to call you out of that old identity. But here's the deal. A lot of Christians stand up and they go, wow. And they go right on back down. And they go back to begging. They sit right back down in that old identity. Instead of going, nah, I'm a used to. I'm used to. Everything changed when Jesus grabbed me, showed me who I am, set me free. Let your used to be permanent. Okay? This matters because, like, again, like the branding. I am all for support groups, okay? I'm all for being led by the Spirit and going where you feel like you need to go. I am not for calling people who used to be addicted to something addicts for the rest of their lives. I'm not for that. I am not for living in fear of sin for the rest of our lives. I am all for recognizing I don't touch that stuff. I used to, and I've been set free in Jesus Christ. Amen. But I ain't calling myself an Adderall snorting addict the rest of my life. That's insane. I'm not that. I am free. I'm a child of God. And the only thing I'm addicted to is Him and His presence. That's it. So you won't call me an addict, fine, but it's going to be an addict for Him, of Him, and to Him. But I refuse to buy the branding, and this matters, dude. You might be like, wow, well, that's a very popular thing that people do. Yeah, guess what? Popular ain't always right. Popular is not always right. And hear me, if you've been in this place, I get it, because the program tells you to do this. The program tells you to do this. The rest of your life, you're an addict. The rest of your life, you're an addict. Now I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hello? I don't want to go by those old brand names. And again, that doesn't mean that you're just dumb. You know what I mean? If old creature loved meth, how about you don't put yourself right next to meth if you're drawn to it in any way? But also, I believe that God can transform your want to where you don't even want to where you're ministering to meth heads. And you're like, I don't even want that. I want you for Him. You don't even see that stuff anymore. And be led and grow in Him. Don't be dumb, okay? I'm here as a pastor saying, don't just flippantly throw yourself into situations that you don't think you can handle. But also, just know this, God can handle way more than you think He can, okay? And also, don't do life alone. We've got your back, okay? We'll pray for you and watch you walk out of that old name in Jesus' name. So God wants to change us from a passive beggar to an active giver. Y'all ever see someone just like, they're begging so long that it's not even an active thing anymore? And I get it, because how many people turn you away? How many people don't give you anything? How many people won't even look at you because they think you're not even a human? You know what I mean? Or because they're so uncomfortable and they can't handle looking at somebody in pain. That's disgusting. If you turn your eyes from somebody, ask the Lord what's going on there in your heart. And watch what He does. He's going to show you that precious child sitting down there. That's what He's going to show you. This guy's just a passive beggar. And he goes from that, like, kind of like, it's funny that Peter had to say, look at us. You know what I mean? It says that he saw them. But there's a difference between seeing somebody and, like, giving them your attention. Like right now, I can see Kayla. Hey, Kayla. You know what I mean? There's a difference, you know? And so here the man goes from being a passive beggar to leaping and walking and praising God. Come on, y'all. He's given out the good news of God just by dancing as he was designed to dance, man. He wasn't designed to sit by the gate beautiful his whole life, laying there. He was designed to dance, man. And so he gets up, he's leaping, and he's bringing glory to God, and everybody's seeing this redemption. It's what it is. It's redemption from death to life. Galatians 5:1. We already referenced the first part here. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Why do y'all think the Bible says this? Maybe because we need to hear it? Hello? Maybe because there's like some weird magnetic pull of the flesh that wants to just suck you back to who you were and who you used to be? Do not be subject again. Maybe it's because of fear. We want change until it requires change. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to be free, but now that I'm free, I can't just sit and beg. Right? Homie probably had to get a job. Hello? Like, his whole life dynamic changed. This is what I mean. It's not just like a little bit of you. The whole thing gets changed by Jesus. And he probably had a decision to make. He could be a liar that sits by the gate beautiful and begs like he is who he used to be. Hello, hypocritical church. And listen, I'm not saying somebody else. We all got our own hypocrisy and God's working it out. Amen. I don't say church like church. I'm a part of this whole thing, man. We are the bride of Christ, right? But we can't be sitting down in old creature stuff. We can't be returning to yokes of slavery. If he sets you free, live in the freedom. But living in freedom requires more intentionality than just being a punching bag for the devil. Did you hear me? It's going to require you to actually believe that God wants to work in your life. And you're going to have to stand up, and you're going to have to, when you've done all the stand firm. These scriptures are written because sometimes it's hard out on these streets. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Hello? Because you can grow weary in well-doing, but you'll reap if you faint not. I'm just saying, sometimes we just get tired, and we go, man, I just want to sit back in that old thing. I promise you, the lack of purpose and the lack of life you experience there will be worse than whatever discomfort you feel stepping into your new identity in Christ. I promise you that. Last thing I'm going to say, let your redemption be public. This is not just for the evangelist. Hear me. This is not just for the evangelist. It's easy to say when you see, yes, okay, I admit it. I get on a stage, I talk to people about Jesus boldly, and people come to the faith, okay? So I know that that's like a part of me, it's a part of you. Maybe not on that stage, maybe not in that way, but it's a part of you to share who God has made you. To step out boldly and dance. And I love that it wasn't just dancing. They saw him praising God. Hello? Sometimes we're like, God healed me and he made me able to dance, so I'm just going to dance. And everybody's going to be like, wow, that's God. No, he said, it's God, it's God, you know? Hello? We don't hide a marriage, we celebrate it. You know? Some of us are in like a secret relationship with Jesus, and we treat him more like a mistress than a master. You know what I mean? He's just your side chick. You just go over there every now and then, hey, Jesus, I love you. You love me. Thanks for writing these wonderful words to me. See you later. I'm going to go have intercourse with the world. Listen, you might think this is intense speech. It's not. The Bible left and right talks about this kind of stuff. It like calls us serving idols like harlotry. You know? Because we're his. But we're his and we talk about him less than we talk about anything else. That makes no sense. Hello? If that's where you are, I want to tell you, let your redemption be known. And not just in what you do, not just in who he's made you, but by the articulation that he has made you, that he has redeemed you, that he has given you a new name. Stop hiding him in the closet. He's not some secret. He is Lord. Hello? I love you guys. That's where you say, I love you too, Pastor. Stop yelling at me, Pastor. I don't wake up going, I'm going to yell, you know? I don't. It just happens, you know what I mean? Psalm 107. We're going to wrap with this. Says this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is everlasting. The redeemed of the Lord shall say so. What? The redeemed of the Lord shall say so. Isn't there a song that's like, let the redeemed of the Lord say so? Anybody? Yeah, we need to bring that hit back. Yeah, at Hope Night, I don't even know what old song they were singing, but it was so full of joy. It was like one of the oldies, you know what I mean? And like, I wasn't there for that, okay? Like, I wasn't there for the oldies, y'all. So somebody starts singing an oldie, and I'm like the guy singing in the car to the radio. I'm like, I just have to like commit to singing in tongues. You know what I mean? Because I don't know the words, you know? But it was just so full of joy. There's some joy in these old songs. There's some joy in the redeemed of the Lord saying so. Let it out. Don't hide it. Don't just expect that your actions are sufficient. They are not. Empty words are disgusting. Actions without pointing to the Lord and Savior who's driving them, equally lacking. He is our life. He is our source. He is our all. He redeemed us. Anything we are that is good is of him. He made us a new creature. We are children of God. And then guess what? We get to look at other people's potential. And we say, I don't just see Jacob, I see Israel. I don't just see the old, I see the new. Because we no longer see things according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5, man. Amen? Amen? So let's just say this together. Say, I am redeemed. I am free. I am not who I used to be. I step in. Come on, man. We can stand up for this. We're just like, I step in. You can't step in sitting down. How are you going to step anywhere? Come on, man. I'm redeemed. I'm free. I'm a new creature. Old things pass away. All things are made new. Show me who I am, Lord. I refuse to yield to the enemy's branding. All sin, all shame, go from me in Jesus' name. Any demonic thing trying to pull me down or convince me that I am not a child of God, I tell you to go from me and from these people in Jesus' name. Come on, say amen, and let's let the Lord know we're grateful in this house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming us. And God, help us. God, help us, help us, help us. Like this photo, dude, I don't even know if this has anything to do with Jesus. It was straight up like unsplash. But I love how he's just like looking up. He's just looking up. Lord, help us to look up. I just thank you for picking our gaze up off the ground. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. To them that are in Christ Jesus, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We walk free. We refuse to return to a yoke of slavery. God, show us that we're not beggars. Show us that we're not beggars in any way we've been yielding to a poverty mindset. I'm not just talking money. I'm talking any insufficiency. We declare you are our sufficiency. You are our everything. And we thank you and we honor you and we love you and we celebrate you and all that you've done for us. Help us to radiate transparently for you and declare all of your wonderful works here in the world. I thank you that we can dance. We don't have to hide or mosey or tremble or anything other than just serve you confidently and live freely in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Woo! Come on, man. Good night.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to that message. We hope that it was a blessing to you.
However you tuned in today, why don't you subscribe? And maybe share with a friend.
Yeah, and if you're in the area, we would love to have you join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. right here in Menominee, Wisconsin. Also, we would be honored if you would consider partnering with us financially to help make this all possible. And you can do that at wearelovechurch.com.
These are great days to be alive. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you. We love you.
See ya.